So yeah, so I found that the street food in Sikkim was also very, very vegan friendly, and most of it was very Asian, Southeast Asian, so, and delicious as fuck, and delicious.
Yeah, I think you can say delicious AF, if that's allowed.
I'm not 16.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast. Hello everybody, episode 4 of The Two Vegans. So it feels like it's been a while since we spoke, but I just wasn't on the last episode, and that's why it feels like it's been ages for me. But yeah, in case you guys missed it, the last episode, Heathel spoke to fashion consultant Victoria Parker, and you guys talked about different cruelty-free fashion options and fashion alternatives. So quite an interesting episode.
Yeah, I think it has been by far the best received episode, and Victoria obviously has shown a lot of light on cruelty outside food as well. And I think a lot of people don't realize where clothes come from or where their fashion comes from. I think it was a great episode. I had a lot of fun. I'm very proud of that episode, actually.
So today we're kind of doing a live recording. So we're outdoors. We're up in Jumeirah at Comtour 102, a lovely cafe that does quite a few vegan options. So we've decided to like sit together, have some breakfast and record. It's quite a different feeling, actually, to record outside as opposed to our lovely home studio.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty lovely place. I wasn't expecting to see a lot of crowd on a Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We're trying out a plate of vegan nut cheese with some fig paste. Chirag has been boring as always, drinking a black lemonade.
Hey.
Actually, no, I lie. I'm more boring. I'm drinking a strawberry banana smoothie. There can be nothing creative about it. It's a good experience. We'll find out more once we start recording and once more people start coming in. The editor has a tough job on his hand.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ideas that we had actually was to sort of try and highlight some of the fun restaurants around town that are offering tons of ups, right? So that was kind of the idea that we started this with. We're going to chat a bit about traveling. So both Heathel and I happen to be traveling different parts of India, as it turns out, towards the end of November and or in December. So we thought we'd just share our experiences, you know, trying to look at options. Of course, we were in a pretty vegetarian friendly country, and hence by extrapolation a little bit easier to veganize options, even if vegan options didn't exist. But you know, it's something to share what that was like. So you were up in Sikkim, which is in the northeast of India. So why did you pick Sikkim, and then how was the experience?
I personally believe that the northeast of India is like the Europe of India. People over there are quite well educated. They're quite self-sufficient. They're very close to nature and they protect their environment. They only eat what they grow, and very rarely do they bring food from outside. Nature over there is intact. Loads of lovely reasons to enjoy northeast of India, and I wanted to start my journey there. I've been planning to go there for a very long time, and finally I had 4 days. There was a public holiday over here. I only managed to live in Gangtok, which is the capital city. I would have loved to see more of Sikkim, especially the other smaller towns, because I just had 4 days. I couldn't.
Gangtok is a pretty tourist-friendly location.
Yes, Gangtok is a beautiful city. It's up on the hills. Sikkim in general is very, very beautiful. To get to northeast of India is quite a task, especially from Dubai. I took a flight via Delhi and then another flight to West Bengal, and then there was a 5-hour car journey. So you can imagine how much time I spent traveling in a 4-day trip. But it was totally worth it. It is a very touristy place. Having said that, I was speaking to the tour guides in a lot of other places, and they said that most of the tourists that come here are from India, and we have very, very few foreign tourists, which is quite sad, because that made me realize that foreigners do not quite know about that region. When I went there, which is end of November and the start of December, it had just started snowing, so there were like half-frozen lakes, snow-capped mountains. In that weather, eating is even more fun, because you tend to be more hungry when you are experiencing like extreme cold climate. So I had some really, really delicious local food, which is all vegan.
Okay, so you mentioned that you had a lot of travel to do, right? Was it Dubai to Delhi, Delhi to Calcutta, I'm assuming, and then Calcutta to Gangtok? So what's the journey like? I know a lot of flights today do provide vegan alternatives to food and things like that, but then when you're, you know, when you're going local flights and stuff, like, is that something that's easy enough to do?
It is, actually. I fly Jet Airways. I have had a couple of difficult times with them in the past, but besides Jet Airways, I think there's Air India that does vegan options on their flights. I think these days quite a lot of airlines do vegan options. Since I've turned vegan, I've traveled mostly to India and Sri Lanka, and I've found vegan options because I flew Emirates to Sri Lanka and they have a vegan option as well. But it's also pretty confusing because they have these initials for every meal. So you have the AVML and the VGML and the VLML, which are the main ones. AVML is usually Asian vegetarian. It is not necessarily vegan, but you, like I said, Asian food is vegan. They don't usually use a lot of dairy or eggs in them, but I think they consider vegetarian to be non-egg. the one that the vegans should look out for is the VGML, because that's the vegetarian vegan meal. And there's the VLML, which is the vegetarian lacto-ovo, which is obviously not vegan. But make sure that you go on the website of the airline and check it out. If it confuses you, call them. They're very particular about what meals they serve. Airlines have tremendously improved their services in that aspect because they understand allergies, and nobody wants to get into the allergy debate, right? Having said that, be ready to be disappointed. Sometimes there would be times where they would have mixed up your meal, they would have added some yogurt.
It's interesting that you say that, actually, because that was true even as a vegetarian. Like, so many number of times it has happened where they'd come to you and be like, yeah, we're out of vegetarian meals and, you know, stuff like that. So that's totally normal.
Go with the worst case scenario and be prepared that you may not get exactly what you wanted. More often than not, it should be right, but don't have any expectations. So I flew Jet Airways from Dubai to Delhi, and again Jet Airways from Delhi to West Bengal. And on the domestic flight, which are pretty short, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, you just have like an hour and a half and you're fine not to eat. Besides, I had a 7-hour layover at the Delhi airport, so I made sure I stuffed my face over there as well.
But again, I'm assuming at an airport like Delhi airport, you'd find options as well.
Yeah, and there are quite a few coffee shops like the Costas and the Starbucks that do soy milk. I think soy milk is something that is now readily available everywhere. So yeah, I had my hot drink with soy milk. Sandwiches is something that people really need to work on.
Yeah, because most places, when they think vegetarian sandwich, they dump like a hefty amount of cheese in there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I think when you're in India, if you don't eat Indian breakfast, then that's just unfair. So I ended up eating a lot of South Indian food, which is your dosas and your idlis, at the airport, that is. And in the flight, I was given vegan food. There was no issue with it. It was pretty simple. It wasn't difficult at all to find vegan food. And like you mentioned, that India is a very vegetarian-friendly country. Meat or fish or all of these ingredients is not a big part of our food. So
yeah, and I think also, I mean, in India especially, you know, unlike, I don't know, I mean, even in Dubai, though, that's changing quite heavily. But you know, this option of like, okay, well, we'll just serve it to you without the meat, but then, you know, you're taking out a pretty substantial portion of what the food is. So that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of like places, like you said, like sandwiches and stuff, will just replace it with cheese to make it substantial again. Whereas in India, at least, you have that option where you have so many veggie friendly options that at best it's, you know, a topping of cream or something like that you have to tell them to take out, but at least the dish by itself is pretty substantial. So on my side, I mean, I was on the other end of India, right? So I was in Mumbai, and then I went to Gujarat as well, which I realize is one city and one state, but whatever. So obviously the flight and stuff, like you said, I mean, a 3-hour journey is not really that tough. Plus it was an overnight flight, so it wasn't too bad. One of the heartening things that I found in Mumbai especially is just how vegan friendly they've become. So a lot of places are now marking, you know, menus with vegan options. I'm gonna give a slight shout out to one place, which was 212 All Good. They've got a couple of locations across the city, but I visited their location at High Street Phoenix in Lower Parel. Their menu is such that they say, hey, we'll tell you when there's gluten and we'll tell you when there's meat in the food, because everything else is vegetarian and vegan friendly. And they even had a shredded tofu as an alternative to cheese on pizza. That was a cool idea, because I mean, everywhere, at least especially in Dubai, when you start looking at you know, cheese alternatives, everybody's giving you nut cheese, unless I'm wrong, but I don't think they had a dairy ice cream option on their menu as well, which I thought was pretty cool. So all in all, quite a nice place. I mean, I think this was one of their smaller locations, but it was just really, really nice to see a menu where so much of the stuff was vegan.
This reminds me, actually, I had my Italian partners coming for a business review here, and we took them to this restaurant called Ruya in Grosvenor's House. It's a Turkish restaurant. When the CEO secretary, who was arranging all of this, she said that, oh, this is the restaurant, it has a set menu, and I was like, I'm gonna starve. Like, at best, I could have a salad. But I just told her to inform the restaurant that I was a vegan. And when I got there, she brought the menu, and she's like, is there a vegetarian in the group? And everyone, like, pointed towards me. Like, 12 people pointed towards me. And she's like, oh, we have a separate set menu for vegetarians. And I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, I don't eat dairy. She's like, oh, you're a vegan. And I was like, yeah, can I get a hug, please? Because I was so excited that she recognized what that means. And I literally had, like, and the set menu consisted of a starter, of a salad, a main, and a dessert. Barring the dessert, there were two options in every course for a vegan.
Start to realize that certain cuisines easily lend themselves to being vegan. So, I mean, for me, like, a standard go-to is Lebanese. I mean, especially the appetizer section, because just about everything, or a lot of things are extremely vegan-friendly. The same is true with Asian cooking, where even the creaminess option is always something like coconut milk or whatever. Indian food helps, but the vegetarian food, there is a lot of paneer and cheese and stuff like that, and cream. But South Indian food is great for this as well. They don't use a lot of cheese in their food. They don't actually use a lot of yogurt either. Or, I mean, so that's awesome. I mean, you know, certain cuisines do lend themselves a little bit better, or at least really quick to veganize them. So it's quite nice.
Yeah, and I think in Mumbai, where you were, of course, there are like the fancy restaurants where you get like proper vegan food. But even the street food over there is pretty much vegan. Mumbai street food consists of food from different areas as well. It also does a lot of South Indian food with the Mumbai take. I mean, it's not necessary that you always have to spend a few extra bucks and eat vegan food when you're traveling. You can always try and explore their street options.
And I know this is more traveling to India tip. So I use Zomato a lot. Zomato is pretty popular in our region too. And one of the nice things Zomato has done is that they actually highlight restaurants that serve vegan options, right? It's one of the criteria, just like Wi-Fi and having a bar or not. And one of the options is, you know, does this restaurant serve vegan options? And occasionally, I think once or twice it has happened that I've seen a restaurant that says serves vegan options, but it's more like we can veganize a bunch of things. But in general, it's very, very handy. So before I left, I did a search and we found hundreds of restaurants in Mumbai especially. This was, however, not true when I went to Gujarat, because there, at least on Zomato, grand total of 3 restaurants showed up. The good thing is, because I'm familiar with the area and stuff, I know that that wasn't true. Probably a combination of restaurants not listing themselves as such, because the term is not something that they're familiar with and therefore wouldn't think of. And also, in a lot of cases, like, I mean, again, because it's vegetarian and very vegetarian friendly as a location, a lot of things can be veganized, but then may not necessarily be listed as vegan. So I attended a wedding while I was there. That's where it became really tough to like find options, because one of the things in most Indian weddings is the way to make food decadent is to top it with ghee. Even regular things like your samosas and chaat, and on the street you would find it fried in oil, at homes you would fry it in oil, but then there would be something would be fried in ghee instead. This is it's such a different change, right? So when I attended a wedding a year before that, I would be one of the first ones walking around the catering areas to go and see what was available, and this time I was walking by the catering areas to see what was available that was vegan and I could eat. But yeah, again, one of the dangers is like, so you might have like a mixed vegetable or something with the gravy or whatever, but invariably, because it's a wedding, or generally if you were eating out, like they would top it with cream or a little bit of butter or something like that. And again, in a wedding context, customizing some of that stuff is very difficult. So yeah, the one thing that it called a lot of attention from my entire extended family, that I've become vegan.
I think in the north and the northwestern and the western regions of India, you usually have a lot of inclination towards dairy in your food. And the more you go down south, it's coconut oil, which is like a big thing in the vegan world, but it has been there in the south of India like since centuries now. Interestingly, in the northeastern part, now that's a pretty heavy meat-eating region, but I do not find it difficult. Now, luckily, I was staying at a hotel, beautiful, beautiful hotel in Gangtok, with excellent service. I mean, I was amazed at how awesome their service was and how friendly their people were in general, on the streets, in restaurants, at bars, and they understood Hindi very well. That's something you don't see in Dubai quite often, so this amazes me more than it should. But of course, the hotel was beautiful and it had great views and good service. Apparently, there were some mild riots going on in that area when I was holidaying there, and the hotel had all cancelled reservations. 3 days, I was the only one in that entire hotel, and it was massive, and I was the only person in that hotel. I don't know if that was the reason I was getting amazing service, or just in general, they give amazing service. Those guys literally made food only for me. I could just tell them what to do and what not to do, right? So I didn't have to worry about... The only problem was that they got too excited that they have at least one guest, so they made shitloads of food for me. They made a lot of food for me, and like every night I would sit there for 1 hour watching television in my room, because it would, like, after 8 p.m. or 7 or 8 p.m. like the city would just close down and people would be back in their homes because it's too cold. He would make me like your Indian vegetables and gravy and curries and the dals and everything, and I just had to tell him, don't put any dairy, I'm allergic, the A word. Yeah, it was fine. So within the hotel it was fine, but also outside, especially when I went to this place called the Nathula Pass, which is the highest pass in India, and it's basically a road between India and Tibet. And years ago, they used to trade using that road, but now it has closed down. So I was at the border of India and China, and it was a beautiful feeling. It was an amazing place. And there are these little tiny stalls that sell gumboots and food, and they have like everything. I saw like 200 shops of the same kind. So they all had black gumboots and the gloves and food. So I obviously had to try out one of the local street foods, right? And they're quite big on instant noodles. They had the table. There could only be like 3 or 4 people sitting in that one small restaurant. So I had this amazing dish called thukpa, and I posted on Instagram as well. And they have these tables under which they have like a stove kind of a thing where there's like fire coming out, and you could pretty much put your legs and your hands over there just to warm yourself while you eat. I was amazed at how many cool things there were in that little stall, right? Like inside it was like completely different magical world. And she made some momos. Momos are pretty much known as dumplings.
Okay, so this was in December, and then you've got another travel coming up now in February. So where are you headed?
I'm going to Armenia with a few friends who want to do a skiing holiday. I can't even spell skiing. So I told them that while they ski, I would go and skydive. Yeah, but I think I'm going to train myself to ski. There's no way I can skydive in that weather, so I have no choice but to.
This is going to be quite a contrast, right, to visiting India, actually. How easy is it going to be to find vegan options in a pretty meat-friendly country?
Well, I've always been a vegetarian, right, and I've traveled to a lot of different places. A few years ago, I traveled to Bali and Thailand, and at that point, I couldn't find a lot of vegan options, especially in Bali. I was literally starving in Bali every day, unless I went to a nice fancy restaurant. And when you're traveling, you don't want to go to fancy restaurants and eat Italian food, right? Yeah, so at that point, like 4 or 5 years ago, that's when I found it very difficult to find vegetarian food in Bali. But today, I read about all kinds of vegan food, especially Thailand. My brother and my sister-in-law went to Thailand recently, and they were raving about all the vegan options that they found over there. And I've heard that Bali has also gotten much better. So internationally, I think it has improved a lot in the last few years. Although I'm a bit worried about Armenia. We have a vegan group chat, and there's this one guy who posted a picture of him with an empty plate or some leaves on it and saying that this is the vegan food I found in Armenia. And I was like, oh my God. I just Googled vegan options in Yerevan. I don't know if it's Yerevan or Yerevan. Easily, I found up to 20 restaurant options. Just like how Zomato gives you the vegan options. I think when we're in the capital city, it's not going to be a problem. I'm sure I'll find something. It's just that when we move to the smaller towns, especially for skiing, that's when I reckon that I'll have some issues, but I'm trying to like create my backup for it.
Are there any other tips that you would give people that are looking, especially when you're traveling to a country like Armenia or other places where you can sort of anticipate that it's not going to be the easiest thing to find a vegan option?
Yeah, so whenever I plan to travel, I do research much in advance of what I want to do, where I want to go, how will I travel from one place to the other. Now this adds on to my planning list. Where will I eat and what will I eat? What I usually do is I try and seek vegan communities of that particular country on Facebook and on social media, and then ask for tips of where to eat. There's also a website called happycow.net. I mean, you can choose the country and they will give you all the options that are available there. And of course, then there's the ever so friendly Google if all else fails. At the same time, I also pack up like some backup food. Pack up your backup. That's our vegan tip for the day. It's basically all your packaged ready to eat foods, your granola bars, your cereal, and your.
Yeah, something to snack on, yeah, and things.
Like non-dairy milk.
Even growing up and stuff, especially if you live in a vegetarian household, this was always the case, right? Especially when we're talking like maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago when there weren't that many vegetarian options in certain countries and stuff. And so it was always a very normal thing, you know, to always carry snacks and always carry nutrition bars and all this stuff, just in case there were days when, you know, sometimes you couldn't even find something like pizza or something Italian where you could just go to and, you know, you'd find something to eat.
So yeah, you can always carry your backup food and you can carry your backup toiletries. And usually I've found that the toiletries that you find in hotels usually ruin your hair and your skin.
Especially with hotels and stuff, I mean, you know, where cost is such a big factor, they're just white labeling something that is not necessarily the best product to begin with. I mean, there have been occasions where, not this trip, but the previous one, we had, I think, a one night or two night stay somewhere while we were away from the city. You know, we happened to go to a hotel where everything was plant-based. I mean, and that's actually in India, that's not an uncommon thing as well, right? I think even we had asked the staff there about it and they were like, we get our stuff from this particular company that makes extremely natural stuff like gooseberry oil and with very, very minor additive or amla oil or whatever and stuff like that.
I think you should, yeah, like that's about it. Of course, then the regular thing of going to restaurants, asking people to veganize stuff. But most importantly, if this seems like a huge task for you, you actually have the option of staying in vegan-friendly places. So I usually tend to book Airbnbs. I enjoy staying with the locals when I go to different countries. The two kinds of Airbnbs is one where you're actually living with the family, but at the same time, it has also become a bit commercialized. So people like have an apartment and they rent it out. But if you're especially living with a family, there are loads of options actually for vegan-friendly stays. There's in fact an Airbnb for that, which is called vegvisits.com. They cater to vegetarian and vegan-friendly stays. Yeah, but be careful and let your host know, because I've read a couple of times that hosts have cancelled at the last minute after taking the booking fee just because they found out that the person who's going to stay is vegan. Highly unprofessional. But things like that happen, so it's best to speak to the host before you book any place. Let them know what your dietary requirements are. And yeah, Airbnb has always been a wonderful experience for me. So if you do find a vegan-friendly Airbnb, it's even better.
I think the one takeaway has to be, like, you know, you talk to people about it. I mean, and like you said, you know, in the case of a hotel or an Airbnb, like, inform the hosts, inform the staff. This is a dietary requirement you have. And I mean, in most cases, especially, I mean, when it comes to tourism, like, this is something that they would cater to because they want to cater to their guests. And so they would be open to try something out for you. You know, we talked about this in one of our earlier episodes as well, that veganism isn't about necessarily just avocado and kale, right? It's even there's so many natural vegetables, fruits, so many things that are locally grown in most countries. So I think it's important that it is shared. I mean, like I said, actually, it turned out to be an interesting experience for me, you know, with my extended family, how much of my family was aware of it and also turned around and said, oh, you can't have that, right? Because this has dairy, or you can't have this and you can't have that. And like kind of looking out for me while we were doing it and stuff like that. So it was, you know, it's always good to talk to people and, you know, and make sure that you're being catered to.
It's not like you can only find options and tell your server about you being vegan in a 5-star hotel. You can also speak to smaller hotels and restaurants, and usually because they want the business and because they value the business more, they will cater to your requirements. Also, if you have an Airbnb and you're not living with anybody in that Airbnb, you can cook for yourself. Like, nothing beats that, right? It's always best to learn a few words in the local language.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip, actually, yeah. And it's so easy to do that nowadays, especially, right? Like you mentioned, you reach out to people on social media, your friends and extended people, because someone would have traveled the place. And even if they themselves are not vegetarian or vegan or something, but they can at least guide you because they would have seen something that helps you. This happened to us when I went to Turkey. I mean, we didn't spend a lot of time in Istanbul. Like, we were traveling all around the countryside. So people didn't speak English. People didn't even speak Arabic. So we couldn't even use any Arabic words that we know to try and communicate with them, because it didn't work. And it was, I mean, I wasn't vegan then, but was vegetarian. And so it was still very hard to try and explain to somebody, like, you didn't want meat, because people have very different connotations about that. People think fish is okay and you don't, and things like that. So it was very helpful. I mean, I just pulled out my phone. I had a dictionary on it. And eventually, by the end of that trip, like, I was not speaking entire sentences, but I had a lot of vocabulary, like a lot of words, including, by the way, the word for discount, which is, I think, something everybody should know when they travel. It's indirim if you're going to Turkey by any chance. So we had a driver and we drove around the place and stuff. So it was just very handy that he was also feeding us words. We were like, oh, ask for this and ask for that and stuff. And then eventually it just, because he was with us for most of the driving around the countryside, I mean, it reached a point where he would just tell us, yeah, you can't go there because that's a meat place and you need to go somewhere else. So, but as you said, I mean, you know, always do some research before you go, try to talk to people. And then when you're there, like, make your requirements known and inform the staff so that they are aware, inform the people that you're dealing with, whether it's a tour company or whatever.
That's it, but don't stress out. This sounds like a lot of information before traveling, but it's not really. It's very easy. And I think in today's, I know I keep saying this in every episode, but today with the social media and people being closer to each other and all the information pretty handy, there's nothing out there that is difficult. I mean, I quite enjoy adding the vegan plans in my travels as well, so don't stress and enjoy your holiday.
To let our listeners know as well that there is a vegan seminar coming up. Heetal, you're helping out with this. What exactly is the seminar expected to cover?
This is going to be a first of its kind seminar in Dubai. We are trying to reach out to people who are aspirational vegans, anybody who wants to understand veganism better, and try and explain to them the different aspects. We will focus on 4 different aspects and have different kiosks for it. Health and wellness / nutrition. We're going to focus on the environmental impact. We're going to focus on lifestyle. We're going to focus on animal liberation. We're expecting walk-ins to come in and decide what they want to learn more about, rather than us preaching about everything. And they can choose the booth. We're going to have free food tasting. We're going to have to show people that vegan food is not boring. We're going to try and collaborate with some vegan restaurants and meals and meal plans and give some giveaways to our visitors. So it's going to be a fun event. It's also going to be a learning experience, because it's the first time we're doing something like that. So there's a bunch of about 20 odd vegans who are getting together and working on it really hard. And let's see how the response is. Veganism has picked up in this country at a much faster pace than I expected. And we want to give out as much information as possible and make it as easy as it can be for people to transition as well. So,
if you're a listener of this show, guess what? The two vegans are going to be there. Heetal, as you know, is already helping organize, and she's definitely going to be there, as well I. So this is on the 26th of January.
It's going to be held at the Oasis Mall on the Sheikh Zayed Road in Dubai from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
So yeah, if you're a listener of the show, you know, you're someone that wants to learn more about this, please do stop by. Come say hi to us as well. It'd be awesome to meet you guys in person. Come stop by, check out the kiosk. I think it's going to be an interesting thing, and we'll be there, so we'd love to say hi to everybody. All right, well, I think that's it for our episode today. I'd love to hear from listeners as well, both if there are countries that you visited where you found some nice vegan options, and tell us about it, and hopefully we'll try and share that with everybody else. Are there any tips that you guys use, or there are things that you think, you know, you've learned when traveling that helped you out? Let us know, and again, we'll try and share that with the other listeners. If you haven't subscribed already, please do that. We'd really appreciate it. You can also review us. You can subscribe in any podcast player that you like. If you like Instagram, you can look up The Two Vegans Are Our username is the.tourwithvegans. We're also on Twitter if you'd like to follow us there. So we do release information whenever we have a new episode going up and things like that. So you can look us up as well. And do keep listening. And thanks to Comtour 102. It was fun to record in this space. And we're going to try to keep doing this.
Have fun. I think it's a beautiful name. When you look at momos, this should be called momos. I think I'm going to name my next rescue dumpling.
Can you imagine, like, having a pet named Momo and be like, come here, my little dumpling. It's perfect.